Name. Amen. Well, mothers, I believe, are some of the smartest people around. With all the kinds of things that they have to deal with in raising children, it's amazing to me that any mother is sane at all. I mean, I was just the worst kid in the world. And, I thank the Lord for my mother's patience and kindness and love towards me. And she taught me a lot. My mother taught me a lot in the years that we were together. She taught me about religion. She taught me to pray. She would direct me into prayer, such as saying things like, "You better pray that that's going to come out of that carpet." You know, so I'd pray, you know, and talk to God. She taught me about time travel, believe it or not. Before the internet was even around, she taught me about time travel. She would say, "If you don't straighten up, I'm going to knock you in the next week." You know, wow, okay. My mother taught me about foresight. She would say, "You better wear clean underwear because you might get into a wreck today." My mother taught me about the humor of irony. She would say, "When that lawnmower cuts off your toes, don't come running to me." Wow, okay, thanks, Mom. My mother taught me about the importance of behavior modification. She didn't want me to just be as I was. She wanted me to grow and change. And she would tell me stuff like, "Stop acting like your father." Well, once a year, we set time aside. We set a Sunday throughout the year to celebrate moms. And we thank the Lord for our mothers. And when looking back into history past, Anna Jarvis, she was the daughter of Anna Reeves Jarvis, who had moved to Grafton, West Virginia, to Philadelphia in 1890, and she was the power behind the official establishment of Mother's Day. Anna swore at her mother's gravesite in 1905 to dedicate her life to her mother's project and establish a Mother's Day to honor mothers living and dead. In 1907, she passed out 500 white carnations at her mother's church, St. Andrew's Methodist Episcopal Church in Grafton, West Virginia, one for each mother in the congregation. May 10th, 1908, the first church, the same one, St. Andrew's in Grafton, West Virginia, responded to her request for a Sunday service honoring mothers. And this morning, we're going to continue in that celebration to honor Anna Jarvis and her mother and all mothers by dedicating this service to all mothers everywhere. So this morning, we're going to ask and answer two important questions concerning mothers and their children. Number one, we're going to ask the question, how can children honor their mothers? And number two, we're going to ask the question, how can mothers honor their children? Well, how can children honor their mothers? This applies to all of us. Hands up, who was born? Anybody here not born? Okay, we're all born. Okay, good. Talking to a live audience here, then we have to look back and understand we all have a mother. Okay, we all have a mother. And so this applies to each and every one of us. Even mothers here are the daughters of a mother. And I think that inside of us, God has put a desire to honor our mothers. We have a sense of, in a responsibility to honor our mothers. We actually sent Jeremy Valencia out on the streets to ask some people last week at First Thursday. He was down on South Congress, and he interviewed a couple of people and asked them the question, how should children honor their mothers? And so take a look at one of the screens, or both if you're talented, and check out what these people had to say.
I would honor my mother by telling her what's going on in my life. Telling her I love her every once in a while, cooking her a nice meal, and yeah.
I think the main way I've honored my mother is trying to live my life the way she wants me to, which is, you know, with integrity and with courage and with strength, and trying to help other people the way that my mom has inspired me by living her life.
Well, most of the time, the best way I find to honor my mom is to be a polite person the way she brought me up, and say yes, sir, no, ma'am, respect adults, and just show my maturity and honor the way that she raised me. I actually just bought her her Mother's Day present. She likes to make scrapbooks, and I got her a gift certificate to scrapbook cupboard for $30. So, love you, Mom. Happy Mother's Day.
That was sweet. I don't think that you should say yes, sir, to your mom, though. That probably wouldn't be the right thing to do. We're all commanded, though, to honor our mothers. And on the screens, you'll see where Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, says that very thing. It says, honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land that the Lord, your God, is giving you. Honor your father and your mother. So this applies to dad as well. Dad, don't feel left out. It's just not your day. It's Mother's Day. So we're going to focus on moms. Honor your mother so that you may live long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. This is the first commandment in what is called the second table of the Ten Commandments. There's two tables. The first four deal with how we're supposed to act towards God. The last six deal with how we're supposed to act amongst one another, towards each other. And so the first four are Godward commandments. The others are manward commandments. And so the first one, the very most important, I guess, if it were to be in line of a pecking order, God puts this one as the first one and says, honor your mother and your father. The second table of the Ten Commandments is summed up by Jesus, as he says that the second greatest commandment that we can accomplish is to love your neighbor as you love yourself. Your mother certainly fits into the category of your neighbor. And so we're to love mankind as we love ourselves, and I would suggest that it needs to start with mom and dad. When it comes to honoring mom, well, we're commanded to honor our mom, we ought to take time, you know, to understand what it means then to honor someone. What does it mean to give honor? Well, Matthew Henry wrote this. He said that to honor one's mother, it involves a decent respect to their persons, an inward esteem of them, outwardly expressed upon all occasions in our conduct towards them. Well, this is maybe a little bit hard to get our minds around this early in the morning. And so let me give you just some simple ideas of how we honor people naturally as we go through life. Number one, you know, you're driving down the highway, and all of a sudden you look over, and there he is, Johnny Law, police officer, driving in his DPS car. And what do you do instantly? What does everybody do? They hit the brakes. Doesn't matter if you're speeding or not. I'm not talking about speeders here. I'm talking about you just see an officer of the law, and you naturally hit your brakes. Why? Because you're honoring the position of the police officer. You don't know that person. Maybe you do. Maybe you've met him before. Maybe you haven't, though. But you respect, you honor that position, and you want to make sure that you're doing even better than what the law suggests. And so you might even go about 5 miles under the law just to say, look at me, I'm okay, you know, I respect you. Have you ever wondered, like, you're driving down the road and all of a sudden you get behind this whole big group of cars and they're all going about 5 miles under the speed limit and you're trying to get in and out and you're trying to get why is everybody going so slow? And then you get to the front and there he is. It's an officer and there's about 50 cars behind going right behind this officer waiting for him to exit so they can go back and get on the speed that they were on before they saw the officer. Regardless of your speed, you slow down, you tap your brakes. Why? Because you respect the position of police officer. You honor that position. We also honor the presidential position. And, you know, Bill Clinton, ex-president, was just in town, and they, you know, they flooded downtown trying to get down there and get his autograph and get to meet the ex-president. We honor the position of president. We see that as being an official position that deserves honor and respect. We honor sports figures. Think about Lance Armstrong. Think about the foundation that he's developed and all the yellow wristbands that you might see right here in our service or as you go throughout the city. I've seen those yellow wristbands all across America. And people honoring what he thinks highly of and what he respects. We honor sports figures. We want to collect memorabilia with autographs, and we honor these people. we honor various musicians. We want to go to their concerts and buy their music, and we want autographs from them too. We'd love to meet them. And we honor various pastors and teachers. Thinking about someone like Billy Graham, I mean, we give Billy Graham much honor, much respect. And in this list of great musicians and athletes and even thinking about great pastors and teachers and all the different positions that we give honor to, can you say that the next on your list is Mom? That you would put Mom on the same list as Billy Graham when it comes to how much you honor a person? Can you say that you tap your brakes when you see your mom on the highway? There's Mom, I better slow down. She wouldn't like me driving this fast. Could you say that you honor your mom like you honor these other people? It's a good question. Publius Sirius once said that familiarity breeds contempt. As we get to know each other, what typically happens in every relationship? Failure. We make mistakes. We don't show up on time. We fail to meet the obligation. We might be caught in a lie. We might find ourselves in a predicament where the other person sees us as less of a person than they thought of us before. And so respect is lost. Happens in marriages. Happens between children and parents. Happens in the workplace. Everywhere we go, the people around us will fail us all the time. I'm not saying every time, but they will. They will fail us. And so who have we been around more than our mom? Who have we experienced more life with than Mom? How many times has your mom failed you? How many times can you look back and say, well, Mom said this, but then she did that? Mom was going to do this, but she really went that way. I caught Mom in a lie. How many times can these episodes happen in our lives and we maintain a respect and an honor for our mother that she deserves, regardless of whether she fails or not? How often do we let that build up inside and we say, oh, that mom of mine, I tell you what, she's failed me again. There she goes again, same old mom. How many times do we find ourselves bitter against our mom? Because she's human. Because she made a mistake. Mothers make mistakes, it's true. Sorry, moms, it's true. Fathers make mistakes. Children make mistakes. I think back over my childhood, and for the longest time, I had this bitterness and resentment against my father. I had this just anger against him because of what happened after my mom died, and his heart was just broken, and he was struggling, and me and my brother and my sister were struggling, and the family just kind of fell apart. I left home very early, very young. And I remember just holding bitterness and anger against my father. And then I became a Christian, and God told me that I need to go before him and ask him for forgiveness. Why? Because I can't control him, and I can't make him ask me for forgiveness. I can't get him to see any problems that he may have had as a father, but I certainly could see the problems that I had as a son. And God dealt with my heart, and I was able to go back to my father and say, Dad, forgive me. I wasn't the best son. I blew it over and over again. I lied. I ran around behind his back. I snuck out. I did all the things that bad kids might do. And I had responsibility for why our relationship was rotten. We can lose respect for our parents. We can lose respect for our mothers because we don't agree or we see them fail us. We can start to see our mother as inferior to other people. You see, we've never hung out with Billy Graham. We don't know how many times he's failed. But guess what? I believe he'd be the first one to admit that he has. That he's lied, that he's made a mistake, that he hasn't been the best dad. I bet we could talk with any parent and child only to discover that the same relationship dynamic that we have with our parent is the same with any of these sport figures, any of these musicians, any of these pastors and teachers, anybody that we would respect. If we sit down and have a heart-to-heart with them, we're going to discover that the relationship dynamic that we have with our parent is the same over there. Why? Because everyone's human, and we all make mistakes. But then do we begin to see those other people as inferior? No, we still honor them. No matter what's going on in the life of that officer driving in his car, we honor him because we honor the position. We honor that officer because we honor the position. Do we give mom the same respect? Do we continue to honor mom regardless of whether she is able to maintain the most godly example of a mother? Do we overlook her faults and say, she's human, I'm to honor the position, she is my mother? Because this is what the Bible teaches us to do. We begin to lose respect for our mother. We begin to see our mother as inferior, not worthy of respect, and that is unacceptable. And I'll tell you where the fault lies when we begin to take that road. The fault lies with you. If you've lost respect for your mother, if you've lost love for your mother, the fault lies with you. Here's why. Because we're told to be forgiving. We're told to forgive as we have been forgiven. 1 John 2:12 says this, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. You see, with all of our problems, we are forgiven. With all the things that we've done wrong, God has forgiven us anyway. So what right do we have to turn around and withhold forgiveness to others? What right do we have to hold back grace when God has been so gracious to us? Well, I'm going to tell you right now how we should honor our mothers. And this applies to whether your mom is a Christian or not. Whether your mom is a Christian or not, that's irrelevant. Because again, we're talking about you, the child, and how the child can honor the parent, the mother. And I'm going to let you know right now that if you want to honor your mother, it all starts with putting God first. Putting God first in your life. And I would say that it's simple as that, but we realize that that's not a very simple thing to do. As things bide for our time and our attention, and as we're pulled in so many different areas, it's hard to put God first in all of our lives. But when it comes to honoring our parents, it all must be done under the will of God. You see, if your mom is part of another religion, if your mom is, you know, atheist, or if your mom, whatever her belief systems are, if she wants you to also be an atheist, if she wants you to also be a Buddhist or whatever the case may be, becoming something that you're not supposed to become is not honoring her. And we can struggle with that. We can think that, well, you know, by honoring mom, I just need to do everything that she wants me to do. But that's not really honoring mom. Because if she's leading you down a path that you shouldn't be on, it's not an honorable path. The honorable path is to put God first. And so if we want to honor our mothers today, whether she realizes it or not, it's all about putting God first. And when I put God first in my life, God directed me back to my father to say, I'm sorry, Dad. I'm sorry for being the rotten kid that I was. I wasn't expecting an apology from him. That wasn't what God sent me to do. God didn't send me to my father to expect an apology. God sent me to my father to give the apology, to offer the grace. Because I put him first. I put God first. And God directed me into a proper relationship with my father. We need to do the same thing for our mothers. Put God first by living for Jesus Christ and then allowing Jesus to impact our lives so that when we go back to our mothers, we go back to our mothers with God first. And then we can begin to deal with any unforgiveness that we might have towards mom. we can begin to deal with any unforgiveness that we've stored up, any bitterness that we have on reserve that we can pull out at the drop of a hat. And when mom starts acting the way that mom acts, we have all the grace that we need instead of the bitterness. And so when we respond from grace and forgiveness and not from the disappointments and the bitterness from all the things and all the times that mom has messed up. We need to honor the position of mother. Well, then we ask the question, how can mothers then honor their children? And mothers, this is directed to you, but it also applies across the board. The same actions can be taken by the father. How can mothers honor their children? Many women believe this. Many women believe that when they have children, they're to put their children first. And the problem, if you back the problem up, many women believe that when they get married, they're to put their husbands first. And you see this idea perpetuated amongst Christians when Christians teach that your spouse is your first ministry. Anybody ever heard that before? That when you get married, your spouse is your first ministry? I'm here to challenge that. I don't believe that at all. I love my wife. But Brenda is not my first ministry. This church is not my first ministry. Pastoring this church, it's not my first ministry. My first ministry is to minister to the Lord. To be before God. To sit and absorb teachings from Him. To sit at His feet and learn of Him. This is life, that we may know Him. Jesus wants us to know Him. And it's from that every other ministry will follow and become spiritual. There was a woman named Salome. And she was the mother of James and John, the sons of Zebedee. And we look and we see Matthew chapter 20, beginning in verse 20. You can read it on the screens with me. It says, "Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to him with her sons, kneeling down and asking something from him. And he said to her, 'What do you wish?'" Here's the test. What's she going to say? What do you wish? What would you say? You're standing there face to face with Jesus. You've got your children here with you. Mom, what do you respond to Jesus when he asks you, what do you wish? Here's her response. "Grant that these two sons of mine may sit, one on your right hand and the other on the left, in your kingdom." But Jesus answered and said, "You do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I am about to drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" They said to him, "We are able. We'll give it the good college effort." So he said to them, "You will indeed drink my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it is prepared by my Father." Jesus has the right concept here. Salome is missing the boat. Oh, it looks like Salome is doing the right thing as a mom. It would appear that Salome putting her kids first, oh, this is the godly, motherly thing to do. And I'm here to challenge that and say, no, it is not. And Jesus' response would determine that. He says, no, that's not for me to give, but my Father in heaven. What is he demonstrating there? Dad's will, not mine. The Father's will, not mine. See, Salome wants her will to be done. Salome is saying, hey, my will, and what's my will? That my kids would be successes. I want my kids to succeed. Any mothers here feel differently about their children? Any mother is sitting here thinking, you know, I'd like my kid to fail. And as I'm thinking about it, I want him to fail real good, you know. Just I want him to fail at failing. But then that would make you a winner. But anyway. No mother here in their right mind wants their kid to fail. Every mother here, every parent here wants their kid to succeed and will pour into their children what they have to help them to go beyond where the parent ended up. We don't think that this is a bad thing for Salome to come and want success for her kids. When Jesus asked Salome, though, what do you wish for? What should have been her response? You see, we can oftentimes, when caught in hypocrisy by our kids, well, why don't you do this? You tell me to do this and you do that. And the response that I got was, do as I say, not as I do. Does that work for anyone here? You know, as a kid you go, oh, okay, I'll do as you say and not as you do. No, we learn visually most of all. And when we watch our parents in hypocrisy, we will end up doing the very same things. As we study the Bible, what we discover time after time is as this son watched this father do these things, they ended up doing very similar things. Even though dad was teaching different things. Do as I say, not as I do, does not cut the mustard. What was she doing wrong then? This is the classic idea again of putting children first, but yet this is challenged by airline stewardess everywhere we go. Anytime you jump on a plane, the airline attendant is going to challenge you on your desire to put your children first. Okay? It's true. Anybody ever been on a flight? Nobody? Nobody here's phone? Yeah, a couple of you guys? Okay, good. You can see here on the screen this airline attendant that we have, and she doesn't want you to put your child first. She's rotten, isn't she? Look at her, smiling. She's going to draw you into her airplane, try to tell you to put yourself first. What do they do right before you take off? They pull out the card. They want you to pull out the card, and they're going to walk you through the safety procedures. Okay? And they want to direct you. If the cabin pressure changes, what happens? The oxygen mask drops from the ceiling. You're supposed to pull on it and then put it on yourself and then put it on who? Your child. What? You want me to put the oxygen mask on me first? But my kid, suffering and dying. No, the airline attendant wants you to put your oxygen mask on first and then your child's. Why? Because if you don't make it to your child first and you don't have it on yourself, you both die. Doesn't that make sense? You get it on yourself first, and then you can get it on your child. Not the other way around. Anybody ever feel uncomfortable when they tell you that? It's just like, oh no, I want to put it on my kid first. It's that natural motherly nurturing instinct to take care of child first, then I'll worry about myself. I think that that's not the right way to live. If we live with our child, putting our children first, we end up with both of us suffocating. We end up with both of us suffering. When Salome came to Jesus and Jesus asked her, what do you wish? The proper response from Salome ought to have been that I would know you and model that relationship for my sons. That I would have a right relationship with you so that then I could lead my sons into a proper relationship with you as well. That was Salome's job as mother of the sons of Zebedee. We see this in 2 Timothy verse 5 in chapter 1. We see Paul commending Timothy's family as he's writing to this up-and-coming church leader. He says, when I call to remembrance the genuine faith, the real article, the real deal that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. Thank God for praying grandmothers, huh? I believe that I am the result of a praying grandmother. The the fact that I get to stand here and teach the Word of God is such an honor. God has honored me with this position because I certainly don't deserve it. But even more so, I believe it's God honoring my grandmother and the prayers that she prayed for years and years and years. And that faith was found in my mother too. My mother proclaimed Jesus Christ. She was eaten up with cancer and people were stopping to see her, and she was leading people to a relationship with Jesus on her deathbed. And I thank the Lord for those two models and those two examples. My mother did not put me first, and at times I didn't get it. I was even jealous of God and hated God at times because my mother would put God first. And then she would put her husband second, and then I was over here. It hurt at times, and I didn't understand it as a kid. Maybe she could have done a better job helping me to understand why it was that way. But I'm not here to talk about that. I'm here to talk about now in my life, I look back and understand perfectly why she put God first, her husband second, and her kids third. It makes perfect sense. You see, it talks here about the unfeigned faith, the genuine faith that Lois and Eunice had. This is a faith that is without hypocrisy. And Lois and Eunice modeled this faith. They modeled the faith that they wanted Timothy to have by putting God first. They put the oxygen mask on themselves first, and then their children. If we're going to talk about honoring our children, we must honor the Lord first. If we want to honor our children, and if we want our children to grow up and put God first as well, we must put God first. Mothers, I know that that can be a hard thing to do, to put God before your children, because our relationship with humans, it's tangible. We can put our hands on it. You know, our child is right here. Our relationship with this unseen God where we have to go into the Word and pray, and what am I supposed to picture when I'm praying? Am I supposed to picture those pictures of Jesus? And we can struggle. What does it mean to pray? Does God even hear me? It doesn't feel like He's hearing me. What does this Bible passage mean anyway, and how does it apply to me? These are hard things to struggle through in our relationship with God. But we must struggle through them. We must wrestle, and we must get into our relationship with God and allow our children to see us in prayer, praying with them, in the Word, doing devotions with them, modeling that Jesus Christ comes first in your life so that they, as they grow older, they can look back and understand and put Jesus Christ first in their life as well. You see, when we put our children before the Lord, here's what you make out of your child. You make your child an idol. If you will put your children before your relationship with God, your children are idols. And women throughout the world are guilty of making idols out of their children. My child never does anything wrong. The teacher calls and says, hey, your child's kind of acting up. Well, what's wrong with that teacher? What's wrong with the teacher? Teacher's dedicated her life or his life to teach your child. And your child's acting like a real numbskull. Don't make idols out of your children, because then they never do anything wrong. Then you'll never discipline them, and then they'll grow up thinking that they're leaders of the world and make all the mistakes that you would hope they wouldn't make. When we put our children before the Lord, we turn our children into idols, and we're worshiping at the wrong altar. Our kids, they ought to be playing sports. They ought to be doing well in school. They ought to focus on reading, writing, and arithmetic. But if this is most important, if this is what you demonstrate for your child is most important in their life, making the goal on the soccer field or winning the spelling bee, if this is what you demonstrate for your child is most important for them, don't be shocked when they grow up and live a secular life, only concerned about succeeding in their job. Don't be surprised when they leave church, when they go off to college. Because they're playing sports and going to school and they don't have time for anything else. And because you demonstrated for them that the most important thing in their life is playing sports and going to school. But now is the time to spend with our children to show them that we put God first. That we put corporate worship above anything else. That we put our devotional time with God above anything else. That we put our prayer life before anything else. And then the sports and the being studious can come with that. As we enter into that relationship with God and put that first and foremost, God will then help us to be good students, and God will then help us to be good athletes, or whatever else it is that we're going to do. Play music, be artists, whatever the case is. God will help us to understand how to be Christian athletes, how to be Christian artists, how to be Christians first, and everything else after that. If you want your children to put the Lord first, then you must model it and show them and say, do as I do. Doing as I do also includes that when you blow it, you admit it. You come before your children. You ask them for forgiveness. You say, you know, mommy is not perfect. Daddy's not perfect. We make mistakes. Would you forgive me? Jesus' mother modeled it. The lady who God used to bring the Logos into the world, the mother of Jesus, modeled this kind of relationship. In Matthew 12, 46, it says this, while he was still talking to the multitudes, Jesus is teaching the multitudes, behold, his mother and brothers stood outside seeking to speak with him. Mary constantly brought her sons with Joseph to Jesus to speak with him. Moms, can you say that you model that as well? Do you bring your kids to speak with the Lord? And I'm not talking when they're little bitty and you can bring them to the bedside and now I lay me down to sleep. And as they grow older, whether they want to or not, do you continue to lead them to Jesus, to speak with him? Jesus' brothers didn't believe that Jesus was the Messiah until after the resurrection. They rejected that idea until after the resurrection. But here she is, pre-resurrection, bringing his half-brothers to him to speak with him. So, moms, I wouldn't be worried about whether your kids wanted to pray or not. I would be leading them to Jesus until they're out of your house. Then they can decide for themselves. But you did what you could do to model before them that Jesus comes first in your life. Christians, we should honor our mothers today by putting the Lord first in our lives. And from this right relationship with God, we ought to be respecting our mothers. And moms, you need to be honoring your children by putting God first in your life and modeling for them a right relationship with God. Showing our children, modeling for our children that Jesus comes first. Everything else will flow as a result of a proper relationship with our Lord and Savior. Let's pray.